Welcome to the Sportscast, July 5th, 2018. The FIFA World Cup 2018 Russia round of 16 is complete. And to talk to us about it a little bit is George Montoya. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hello, Santiago.
So, George, so far, so good. Few surprises. Let's go through each game really quick and just, you know, share your thoughts. Let's go for the first one. Uruguay, Portugal. What were your thoughts?
It was an evenly matched game, you know, but Uruguay has a better all-around team. And Cavani went off, you know, he played so well. And, yeah, man, I think Uruguay has had more. You know, he had that better defense, that better midfield play. Portugal, you know, just kind of lacking in their attacking.
France, Argentina. Argentina looked weak. Their luck ran out, but the scoreline says differently, 4-3. What'd you think?
Yeah, man, I was surprised to see so many goals, but yeah, I mean, I'm honestly surprised the team even scored that many goals, to be exact, but yeah, man, France had more speed, you know, they just have more playmakers in that side. They're a dangerous team.
Yes. Next game, Brazil-Mexico. Mexico won that quinto partido, the fifth game. Could not have done it against Brazil. Is Brazil looking good?
Yeah, man. Brazil has their attack. They're attacking, man. They're just so explosive. You know, you just any given moment. Even though Mexico gave a really good game in the first half, I think they played well, really well. They missed some opportunities there with Brazil, man. Their counterattacks are so deadly.
You think Mexico should have, you know, like tie or beat Sweden in order to, you know, be on the easier side of the bracket and maybe face Switzerland?
Yeah, man. Mexico would have had a chance, but they like I said, in these World Cups, man, every game means a lot, you know, a lot of points, you know, depending on what side you go. And yeah, Mexico probably would have had a better shot on the other side, but doesn't matter anymore.
The curse continues with Mexico. Quinto partido, not this time around. Maybe in 4 years. We'll see. Belgium versus Japan. Japan went up 2-0, and it was about 20 minutes left in the game. Belgium came back and scored 3 goals. Is Belgium, I mean, does this show the weakness of Belgium, or just Japan had a lucky day?
Nah, man, I think Japan was just playing hard, man. They're not that skilled team, but they took every opportunity they had, they took advantage of it, and they got 2 goals out of it. Belgium just seemed like, I don't know, like I feel like they were just playing so relaxed, like they knew they were going to win easily, like, but they weren't really doing anything until they had to, you know. So it's one of those things where kind of England and Colombia, kind of England was the same against Colombia. We'll talk about that later, but yeah, man, I think Belgium in the struggle against Brazil. I think that's the end of their run.
Yes, Japan was the same team that gave trouble to Colombia, beat Colombia 2-1. So Japan, definitely I see a rise. I think the Asian teams did better than the African teams, although Japan was the only Asian team in the round of 16. The next match, Spain versus Russia. Now, everyone thought, including myself, Spain will walk to the quarterfinals. Is Russia lucky, or they just got the home field advantage right where they want it?
I mean, obviously, there are some luck involved in some aspect of the game, but like I said, Russia, I think after they got destroyed by Uruguay, I think they were like, you know, they got a kind of wake up call, and they got to realize they made some changes, and they were just playing a lot more disciplined, a lot more, you know, patient, and they run a lot, man. They play hard, and obviously they had home field advantage, man. So that was going to give them the extra boost, you know, when you need it. So don't think it'll be enough against Croatia, but hey, they were to take the final 8, man. That's a huge accomplishment on itself, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, usually, you know, home teams, you know, typically do well in the World Cup. Except South Africa in 2010. But people are saying maybe Russia might go deep like South Korea did back in 2002 when Korea went to the semifinals, but they lost against Germany. I think it was 1-0, so it was really narrow margin. But I think Russia's going to run out their luck against Croatia. But speaking about Croatia barely beat Denmark on penalties. I think Croatia was going to win this bracket, but they look pretty weak. You think Croatia just had a bad matchup with Denmark?
No, man. Like I said, man, Denmark is it's not a bad team. Denmark is really good defensively, and they have a great goalkeeper. You know, and I think even Russia against Croatia, man, I don't expect it to be a blowout either. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game as well. And who knows? Like, Russia kind of played in the sense of, like, you know what, let's take it to penalties. And let's see if we get lucky. I mean, I think that's what the weak teams are trying to think. Let's just go to penalties and see what happens. And I think that's what Russia might try to do. Obviously, they'll take advantage of their opportunities. But don't be so – hey, man, I'm not even taking Russia lightly anymore. You know, not at this point anymore.
You know, I agree. If you're a weak team and you don't have the capability of scoring goals or maybe winning the game, you have a better chance going to penalty kicks, right?
Yeah, of course. Because at that point, it's just your kicker, it's your goalkeeper, and whoever's more composed probably is going to end up winning, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Next match, Sweden-Switzerland. Now, Sweden is the same team that eliminated Holland, the Netherlands, eliminated Italy, and they also eliminated Germany, per se. Sweden beat a kind of tough Switzerland, very offensive. Do you think Sweden is that defensive team that might, you know, do some upsets?
Hey, man, I think they're one of the more organized, like, defensive-minded teams in left. I think they're very, very good defensively, and they don't really give anything away. And they have enough, you know, firepower in front to get a goal here and there. I mean, they won't score three goals on you. But, you know, if they get 1-0 lead, man, it's very hard to beat them. So, hey, I don't see. I think it's a sleeper. Don't sleep on them. You know,
I cannot let go of Sweden. But we'll talk about that next quarterfinal game. Probably the biggest round of 16 game for George and maybe for myself as well. Colombia versus England. I think it was probably the most high tempo match, but it was also. I mean, was the match leveled, or do you think England had the advantage, and then Colombia was playing too defensive and maybe dirty? What'd you thought about that game?
Oh, man, it's a heartbreaker. The game was very bad in a sense of Colombia just didn't have anything. Like the worst I've ever seen Colombia play in a very long time. I mean, I don't know when the last time they played this bad. And for some reason, it seemed like they were just trying to make it to penalties. Like, they obviously in the end they had to score a goal, but like, in the first half, they had no corner kicks, which is ridiculous, right? They have they only had like one shot at goal, and it really wasn't even a shot at goal. It was like shot over the arc. So they have nothing. They're going with Quintero wasn't going to be found. The game was very chippy, or they were very aggressive. They're hitting each other. They're a very physical game, which I guess, you know, it makes sense. But it felt like Colombia wasn't like, they just weren't confident out there, man. Even England itself, too. England was playing very conservative, so it was a very weird game to watch.
You know, before the match, I was hearing the English media via Twitter and also on the radio, and they were excited that James wasn't playing. You think James has a big weight for Colombia? I mean, okay, first of all, I thought Quintero was a great backup. I thought that he would be like ideal, you know, to come in if James is not there. Quintero didn't show up. You think James is really a big part of Colombia's creativity and offense?
Of course, man. He's the heart and soul of the team. I mean, we think about it. Like, if you look at when he played against Poland, like, man, Drago was doing well, Falcao was doing well, Quintero was doing well. Everyone was doing their job because James controlled the game. He has that speed in the midfield. He has those great precise passes. Remember, he didn't even score a goal, and we won 3-0. Like, he had two assists. Like, Thomas is our team. Like, when you're missing that player in there, man, that's like missing Harry Kane for England, or missing, you know, Griezmann from France, or even Messi from Argentina. Like, these guys are game changers. So, and the thing is, I still thought Colombia had a chance to win the game. I thought that England is not necessarily going to kind of hyped up. Without Harry Kane, I don't think they have much. the other guys are underperforming around them. So, yeah, it's frustrating to see that them lose, and the calls the referee was making were kind of a penalty call killed me, man. I thought it was a no call, but well, now, you know, what are you going to do?
Like the same person that caused the the penalty for Japan also was the same guy who caused the penalty for England, Carlos Sanchez. He was pushing and shoving with Kane, and it was a borderline call, but it wasn't reviewed. What'd you think about that call?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. They have to review it. They have to at least review it to give both sides a chance, benefit of the doubt. But I'm not a fan of Sanchez. I think Sanchez, he's been a good player for us in the past, but I think, like, okay, he made that crazy. Well, actually, I don't mind the first red card because I think it would have been a goal either way, so you had to try not to make it in. But either way, man, he gets out, he's suspended for the next game, and then he comes back, and he didn't even play that well against Senegal. He's way too aggressive, you know, in there. Like, you can't make those aggressive plays in the box, and that morning was just a tie game, you know. But, yeah, I don't like the way he played anyway. I think it was a penalty call, but just to give any kind of reason to, you know, I think that was bad in itself, you know.
With that penalty, England, with Harry Kane converted the penalty, made it 1-0. And then the second half, Colombia started to play now. They were being a little bit more creative. They were being less dirty. And in the 94th minute, Uribe came in the middle, shot the ball from long, and the ball was, I think it was going to go in, but the goalkeeper, Pickford, he blocked it and caused a corner, which I knew England wanted to avoid Colombia to have corners or any type of set pieces because they know Mina, which I think is a secret weapon, probably the best player in Colombia for this tournament, came in, equalized the game, and the last minute of stoppage time.
Man, I was so excited to see that. It's funny because I was watching the game with friends, and I was like, look, man, they don't know much about soccer, so I was like, look, at 13, man, he's the tallest player. He is a deadly in the headers, man. He's the guy who's going to score the goal right now, so at least have a good chance at it. And lo and behold, look, exactly what happened. And that's the thing. This is beyond me how you don't want to have, like, three guys on that guy. You know, he's, like, the guy you don't want him to even have a chance to hit it. And he just hit a beautiful header, and he was really the hero, I thought. I mean, I after that, the momentum went to Colombia's way, man. I think even extra time, we had more shots and a goal. And towards the end, we England had a couple of them that went in. But I really thought Colombia had the momentum. I thought Colombia had to, you know, was going to win it. But penalty shootout didn't happen that way.
Yeah, the penalty shootout, it was Muriel missed it and Carlos Bacca. One of the English players did miss it. It was Henderson. And then Trippier, you know. Yeah. Converted the last penalty and won it. Now, penalty kicks are 50-50. In my opinion, I'm not a fan of it. I prefer just playing it out. It could last for hours until someone scores. And maybe...
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing. You can't really... You play it out, man. You're going to have, like, everyone sub in. Like, you guys can't run for that long. I mean, it's going to be, like, such a brutal game. You got to find a way to equalize it. I mean, penalties... I mean, it's not like they don't do enough. That's 30 minutes... After 90 minutes, that's plenty of time. Over 30 minutes more, that's almost a whole, you know, more than half a game left. And then, I mean, I don't know. I like penalties. I think they're exciting, especially, well, not when your team loses, obviously. But, I mean, still, man, it's still an individual player against the goalkeeper. I mean, it's not – maybe I think – I don't know if you've seen the back in the day, the MLS penalties, the way they used to do them. I think I sent you a video before where they would have the guy with the ball – line up way farther, like outside the box, I think it is. And then he runs towards the goal, and the goalkeeper can actually run out to you. It's more of a one-on-one kind of thing. It feels like it's more skill involved, I guess. I don't know. I guess it takes more skill for the other player to actually score because you have the goalkeeper in front of you, you know?
And I've been hearing the arguments, you know, when you reach extra time, eliminate, like, one player, and then, like, the second half, you know, just eliminate one player so it, you know, kind of dwindles it down. You think that's a good format?
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean eliminated player?
Okay, let's say it's extra time. So it'll be 10-on-10.
Yeah.
And then, like, nothing yet. No one scored or anything. So they eliminate one more guy, so it'll be 9-on-9, you know? And then it'll come down to maybe just a 7. Just keep it as that. And then it'll be 7-on-7 until someone scores.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know how that's gonna change much. I mean, think about it. Look how huge the field is, man. Like, you have 7-on-7, and we're gonna have like by the time you make a goal across, like, we're gonna have like everyone run. Like, you know how hard it is to even? It might be harder to score. You have to run even more.
But be less people, like, on the field, so maybe there might be more chance to score as well.
I don't know. I if it's both equal, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like it's just so hard to after all that time of running, it's so hard to continue on that pace, man, for that so long. I mean, you get cramps, you get injuries too. It'd just be too much risk, man, of losing a player by some kind of injury, you know, playing that long. And that's what it is, especially in a World Cup, man. You just can't risk those injuries. I think penalties have historically always been that way. It's not like it doesn't take skill. I mean, it's not like you still got to get the ball in the net, and you still have your goalkeeper has to show up and actually do his job. So I don't really think – I still think teams do have more of an edge. I think if you're a more composed team and your goalkeeper's slightly better than the other goalkeeper, I think you have your edge. You have better players on your side, you're going to win more likely, you know. And if it's close, then it comes down to composure. So I like the penalties. I think really there's no other better alternative than that.
All I know is that the penalty thing has not been a debate on FIFA or has not been on the FIFA agenda in the past couple of years or maybe just, you know, like recently. So we'll see what happens. But penalties is 50-50. Anyone can win. You know, like the worst team can beat the best team.
Actually, true. Well, yeah, because it doesn't come down to team anymore. It comes down to individuals in the team. So that's the thing. So if you have a Messi, right, he'll probably make a goal more like, well, I don't know penalties anymore. But if you have, like, if the other guys are better at kicking the ball, you know, penalty-wise, then, hey, you have the edge there. It does change. And what if you have a really good team but you have a bad goalkeeper? You know, that might hurt you. So it still requires somewhat of individual skill, I mean, in those points. But I guess it does come down to that. If both teams are tied, they're like, well, both teams are even. We play today, so now I have to go down to individual players in the team to pull out a win for them. So that makes sense. But there was actually some debate. I don't know if you heard about this. I don't know what's going on. But my dad told me about something that the new rule where when there's extra time, you could bring in a player, a sub, right? But they're saying that the only way you get once the 90 minutes are up, if you only had two subs, you cannot sub in two other guys. You have to sub in three guys before 90 minutes, right? And then you get the extra one, the fourth. So what I heard now with England didn't do that. England had subbed in two guys before the end, and then they subbed in more guys for the extra time. I think that was against the rules, but they didn't acknowledge it, I guess, in the game. And they can't really. I think one of the guys that came in was the one that made the goal or something like that. So I don't know, and then a penalty. So I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if you heard about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's towards the end of the game, England did substitute a lot of strikers in. Rashford, actually, they substituted him, and also Vardy. Rashford was playing defense, even though he's a striker, but they put him in because he can score penalties. Strikers tend to be good penalty takers. So that's what you do as a strategy. I mean, as a strategy. And also, if you're in extra time, you're allowed to add a fourth substitute. So that's the best part about FIFA rules. Okay.
Yeah, but there was a rule, though, that said that you get the fourth. Both teams get the fourth for sure, but you can't, like, so England only did two subs before the end of the game. After the end of the game, and they subbed in two more guys for the four total after the end of the game for extra time. They're saying that there's a rule where you have to sub three guys before the end of the game.
I don't know about that, George. I'll have to double check. I got to double check on that, but I don't know. I think it's no matter what, you can have a fourth substitute. If you haven't had no substitutes in, like, the whole game, like the whole 90 minutes in regulation time, then you're allowed to have four in extra time. But, I mean, England did not get in trouble. Trust me, these FIFA refs, there's like at least eight people officiating in this game. I'm sure they would have checked that out already.
We could do part two. I got to go.
Okay, George, thanks very much for joining the Sportscast. We'll see you later. Thank you.
All right.